And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is the first program of 2026. Joe, which means we've had programs in 2020, 2021, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26.
Wow.
Long time of them not kicking us off the air so far.
Yeah. Have they not noticed what's going on? Do we need to help someone out?
Don't know.
So I got a question for you guys real quick.
Okay.
So I got it. I'm wearing my birthday gift. Katie bought me it's a sweatsuit. It's this olive green. And they call it, her and my daughter, Caroline, they called it, they say it's a set.
Okay.
It's a set. Okay. So my question for you is, am I wearing women's clothing?
I think you might be.
Is it like, right? Like, because I mean, like, I there's sweatsuits that are like mafia dudes, but they're more like Adidas sweatsuit.
Yeah, like
tracksuit.
Kind of
but
thing.
This is, yeah, I'm like, I don't know if, like, yeah, I'm supposed to wear like this all together as a set, but.
I think you might be.
Okay. That's fine.
Just embrace it, man.
I think I've seen guys wear the sweatsuits.
Yeah?
Yeah. The matching. Yeah, they match the colors.
Yeah.
Same brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well. This is probably the last time I'll wear it like this. I like both things. Like, you know, like I like the sweat
tonight,
shirt.
Tonight,
you know?
Michigan State color?
I guess kind of. And I like the sweat pants. So I could do like the sweat shirt with some jeans.
Yeah.
I could do the sweat pants with whatever, you know, like the different color sweat.
I'll go cut out a Carhartt logo. Just slap it on there for
me. There we go. Yeah, that'll manly it up a little
just
bit.
Just get it going a little bit in there.
Let's go.
Carhartt, you're getting a lot of free ads on our show.
Seriously, man. When are we getting that sponsorship deal?
Carhartt, have your people. Reach out to our people.
Yeah. I don't own a piece of that. I don't have any Carhartt.
I have gloves.
Myself. But, yeah.
I found out that I have gloves.
That's good.
But I like the jackets. I've seen the jackets. Now they look good.
It's good.
They look warm.
They do.
They are warm. Love them.
Yeah, they look legit.
That's the last free ad I'm giving them. It's the last one. Ian, Happy New Year. How we doing?
Happy New Year, everybody. Doing good, thanks. Had a nice day with the fam. It was not super cold. Got to get outside, do some stuff, keep an eye on the games. So hope everybody had a nice, safe day.
Absolutely. We got a lot going on the show today. We got a lot. We could do like a five-hour show today. We only have three.
We could.
Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and the Jags with him. We will get into the Titans a little bit later in the program. As well, we have a Pigskin Pick'em Part 2 of the week coming up.
I'm the one who wanted more of this. Like, hey, let's see how much farther behind I can get.
Rex Road. We may, by the end of this, be doing Pigskin Pick'em every day to see if Rex Road can catch up at some point.
God.
But still plenty of time left in the competition. But we begin with the college football playoff. The quarterfinals have come and gone. And interesting, the results here. Let's start with the first game. Miami taking down Ohio State. So Ohio State, who just rolled through the college football playoff last year, they're done. Miami gets the 24-14 win. Indiana absolutely destroys Alabama. I mean, absolutely destroys them. 38-3. Ole Miss takes down Georgia in a thriller last night, 39-34. And Oregon, a 23-0 shutout victory against Texas Tech, which means, Joe, that through the first 2 years of the 12-team playoff, the teams that have gotten the first round bye are 1-7. 1-7 in the quarterfinals. So what do you make it? Let's start there. What do you make of that? And then we'll get into kind of all these games individually, how they shook out.
Yeah. Obviously, Indiana is the exception. They're like, we don't give a crap about this. How about we just beat the absolute stuffing out of Alabama? That is, I think there's something to that. But, I mean, you can look at the games. So I'm trying to remember last year, you know. Now, I got to go back to last year. Like, of the teams that got by. See, last year the byes were messed up. So that's another thing to remember, that, right? Like, some of the teams that got by shouldn't have gotten byes because they did it by conference title. So last year, I think it was mostly the better team won, wasn't it?
Oregon lost. They were number one seed.
Yeah, but they were underdogs in that game.
They were
the most talented team, and so I think there was something to that, to Ohio State getting that win over Tennessee and getting it. I think there's something to it. Like, there's something to you play a game. Again, you can get banged up, but you can also get in a rhythm. The other team, the layoff. I mean, you could attribute that a little bit to Ohio State, Miami. Maybe you could attribute it to Georgia, Ole Miss. I mean, look, I was dead wrong about, well, just about everything. But Texas Tech, they have a great defense, but boy, their offense, they got dominated. I mean, Oregon's just a better team. And frankly, man, I mean, I just like Miami. Like, they are so freaking tough up front on defense. I that did not seem fluky to me. And last night, the one game I was worried about being a blowout, which was the one game that was good. I mean, if Ole Miss doesn't give them a free touchdown, they totally kicked their butt up and down the field last night. Yeah. They went up and down the field on Georgia. So, it is an interesting stat. The asterisk definitely needs to go on the first year because of the seeding. I think there's a little something to it. But, again, when you have a team that's clearly superior, like Indiana, just completely physically obliterating Alabama of all things, well, that stat doesn't matter anymore, right? Yeah.
Well, I've said this before, and I think what we've seen play out now has just confirmed it. Like, the 5 seed is the spot to be because you get the absolute bum of the group of 5 in the 5-12 matchup. And then you get the lowest rated of the 4 teams that had the bye. And look, you know, Texas Tech, clearly, if you watch the game, I mean, if you didn't see it, you're going to look at the box score and you're going to say, okay, 23-0. Their defense was fine, but it wasn't that great. Their defense, I mean, that game probably legitimately should have been 45-0.
Exactly.
It could have been an absolute massacre in that game. And Texas Tech, a combination of, I think, Texas Tech's defense making some huge plays. Dan Lanning at some point in the first half probably should have been like, let's kick a field goal or two here.
Yeah, but
the game could have been a lot worse than it was. Like, you know, it's 2 years into the 12-team playoff, so it's hard to come away with any sort of sweeping conclusions. Other to me than, I'd really like being in this 5 spot if I'm a team out there. Last year it was Penn State, and they just cakewalked their way to the semifinal. The 5 spot's a pretty good spot to be if you're in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that extra game of exposing yourself to injury, but yeah, that it's definitely played out that way. So now I'm going back. So last year, Ohio State just drubs Oregon. So yeah, so Boise State, right? So Boise State got a bye, like, because the seeding was messed up.
Arizona State got the bye.
Yeah, there you go. Arizona State got the bye. That was a great game, by the way. That was one of the best games before last night. I think last night is our new best game. And then I guess you could look at that last year with the Notre Dame Georgia game, but you know, Georgia had just lost Carson Beck, and they had Stockton in there. And by the way, Gunnar Stockton, man, he is he's got to be the toughest quarterback in college football.
Dude,
he's not the best.
That hit he took. I was like, he's dead.
Yeah. Well, there were a couple others too.
Right back up.
It's incredible. There's a lot to all this. I mean, I still think the biggest takeaway for me is like, so Indiana, let's see. 2023 Indiana, terrible team, just like all Indiana teams other than like maybe 5 ever. Last year, the story of the sport, get to the playoff, oh my God. This year, they're going to kill everyone and win it all. They're going to kill everybody and win it all. So like, what is it next year? They're going to imply to like elevation to the NFL and go 10-7? I mean, it's insane what Kurt Cignetti has done. It's truly unbelievable.
It's great. I mean, it's 38-3 yesterday. And they just totally kicked the crap out of Alabama. And look, I understand there's a couple things here. Number one, everything you just said, I agree with. Like, the job that Cignetti has done, you know, we'll see if they finish it off. I mean, they're taking on Oregon. It's a rematch. First time they played Oregon, it was a good game. But they won the game on the road, so we'll see what it looks like. But, you know, Oregon's a good team. They could absolutely beat Indiana. We'll see how it goes.
They could. I think that's going to be a good game.
But, like, if they roll through here and win the national championship, you're going to have to talk about pretty quickly one of the greatest jobs in like the history of American sports, turning that thing around, right? Like from being what they used to be in short order to what they've turned into. And I understand college football is different and you got the ability to turn the roster over more than ever before. I get all that, but it's amazing what he's done.
Yeah. I mean, it's, And still, if you just go, this it's a good reminder that recruiting rankings aren't just complete gospel. But if you go just by the talent on the field per the recruiting rankings, it was a total mismatch yesterday. Alabama over Indiana. You know, they have a lot of old players and stuff, but like some of these James Madison guys, it's like, how did they ever lose a game?
Yeah.
You know, and obviously the quarterback, I mean, Mendoza's, he's pretty good, man. He, you know, people are going to make Charles made the Cousins comparison last week. Mendoza's fast. Like, Mendoza escapes the pocket and can get you, I mean, he can really escape and make plays, and he's just he's a really good player. So now, you know, I think that helped him probably establish that the number one overall pick thing. Nick Baumgartner thinks it's going to be Dante Moore, so we'll see. And then you wonder with Alabama, and I'd be interested to hear from Alabama fans on the Ty Simpson front. You know, his back is a real thing. You know, I mean, I think that was what happened yesterday. At first, it was like, oh, God, he's benching him. But, I mean, his back is a problem. So
Sciatica.
Yes, yes. So, like, does he go? Does he come back? If he does come back, I mean, I assume Alabama would be happy to have him as a starter next year, right? I think they should.
Yeah, and he cracked his rib on that play yesterday, too, he said after the game. So that's a tough one.
That's fun. Yeah. That's a nice combo.
Yeah, back and
a rib.
A rib
back.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do you have?
It's you know? Good stuff.
I mean, you cracked my skull, too.
You know, Herb Street was talking about this on the broadcast yesterday about how he thinks it would be really smart if Simpson came back. We'll see. We'll see what that looks like. I think Alabama should want him back. The other part of this, in addition to Indiana being the story of the sport right now, you know, Alabama is still very good. They're still very talented. The mystique with them, totally gone. Like, totally gone. And
100%.
Doesn't mean that Kalen DeBoer can't win there. Doesn't mean that, who knows, here in the next few years he won't eventually win a national championship there. But, like, the more you watch them and the more you see them in today's era of college football with Saban gone, you don't look at them anymore and you're like, oh, my God, it's Alabama. Like, that's gone.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I think Kalen DeBoer is a good coach. But as much as you just talked about the dramatic uptick for Cignetti, there's nothing you can even compare it to, I don't think. Alabama's dramatic reduction in physicality and physical intimidation is incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but so if I'm a Bama fan, I think people are over it. Now you got to run them out of town, all that stuff. I will say that part of it, it doesn't reflect well on him. Like, how do you get that weak that fast?
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We got a lot more to react to with the college football playoff. We'll take your thoughts on that as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Fernando, Indiana continues to make more history this season. Why? What is so special about you and this group?
Well, first of all, my team and I want to give all the glory to God. What a historic venue, the Rose Bowl, one of the best venues in all of sports. It's just a great conglomerate of individuals coming together and really forming complementary football. Coach Zig has hit on us, no complacency. And especially when you have a bye, it's tough to get in the rhythm of football. But once we got our feet on the ground, we knew that we're going to stick together and come out with this W.
That's Fernando Mendoza after the Rose Bowl yesterday. I think I could listen to his post-game interview every time. I don't care if he doesn't complete a pass against Oregon. Interview him anyway after the game.
Is there any way that we could get Fernando Mendoza and Kirk Cousins in the same QB room next year and they could just, like, play, like, Battleship every day and stuff? Like, it would truly be amazing.
B4.
Oh, my goodness. Man. Or what's the –
Hungry, Hungry Hippos?
I'm thinking a little bit more intellectual, like
Risk.
Yeah,
Risk is a good one.
Maybe Risk. Yeah, there you go.
That'd be a fun one.
Yeah. Is that the one they did on Seinfeld?
Yes.
Ukraine, not weak! Yes.
Awesome. Shoots and ladders. All sorts of things.
Risk takes a while. You know,
you keep wanting them to play small children games.
For getting board games out there, get the board games out there.
Candyland.
Monopoly is a good in between. Yeah.
Operation. That's a good one.
The problem with this is there's a certain segment of children listening right now. I probably have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, no doubt.
Board games, children.
Yeah.
Sorry. Look it up.
Yeah, so get off your phone.
We mentioned the Ole Miss-Georgia game. What a performance from Chambliss last night, particularly in the second half. But, I mean, it was amazing. He ends up 30 of 46, 362 yards through the air. And look, I understand, Joe, that you know we've seen Georgia's defense at different times this year look way more vulnerable than we're used to seeing under Kirby Smart. I mean, look, Tennessee game. I mean, Tennessee lit them up on the offensive side of the ball. However, as the year went on, I thought Georgia's defense figured some stuff out and got a lot better. And that did not matter last night against Ole Miss.
Didn't matter that Lane wasn't there. Lane, by the way, trying to get on ESPN. No thanks, Lane. I give kudos to ESPN for not letting him come on. So instead he goes to the LSU women's basketball game with Kim Mulkey. Woo! And they lose at home to Kentucky. Good job, Lane. But anyway, yes, Trinidad Chambliss. Is he the best player? Like, and as amazing as the Cignetti story is, this kid was at Ferris State. You look at his offers to him at high school. You know, it's like Wayne State and a bunch of like small schools in Michigan coming out of GR, Grand Rapids. And he's a good player at Ferris State. And, okay, they find a guy who can be a nice backup for him, for Austin Simmons. Is he the best player in the tournament? Unbelievable last night. You know, and you're right. You know, because Tennessee did finally light him up this year, I still continue to ask myself why consistently Georgia can't deal with that same offense when Ole Miss runs it, but they've been able to deal with it when other teams do.
Yeah.
But, man, Charlie Weiss Jr., he may be splitting his jobs up, but third and five, in their own territory, Georgia's thinking they might just run it because they don't want us to get it back and have a shot, and we're going to overtime. Or at the very least, you know, they're going to try to move the chains and all that, and they just say, boom, let's just throw the fade. Man, I just love the call and the play. I mean, Chambliss is just – he's tremendous. Well, I mean, Ole Miss Miami – that's pretty. It might be good, man. It might be really good.
Well, frankly, I'm glad Ole Miss won because if they didn't, all we'd be talking about today was the missed face mask call. That was just. I don't know how you missed that call. I mean, his head got turned around basically in a 90-degree angle. But yes.
Several of you could have seen that.
Yeah. I'm glad they overcame that because if they hadn't, boy, that'd be a big talking point today.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Now that crew. Yeah. There's a lot of, and at some point we'll probably get into the whole Big Ten talking trash, SEC, all that stuff. Oh, yeah. Great day for the Big Ten, and then it's like the Big Ten officiating crew grinds everything to a halt. Like Ole Miss celebrated like four times. Like, no, back to the sideline.
Get on the sideline.
Yep, and let's have this weird play at the end, and they had to put the stage back on, and the confetti had already come down. Boy, that was
good stuff.
Terrible crew. God.
Good stuff. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Blaine to the program. Blaine, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I think the main difference of the Georgia game, we cannot get pressure on Chambliss with our front four, so we had to bring blitzes, and he just lit us up. And that was the difference of the game. Very disappointing. Our defense let us down a lot this year, so it's just disappointing this year. You give all credit to Ole Miss and Chambliss, and they played a great game. So when they talked about that, and also, I gave you guys that Miami money line pick last week. I told you they're going to win. They are legit. So, thanks a lot. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, Blaine. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, Miami, for, you know, we talked about the style that we expected in that game heading into it, you know, the slobber knocker that we thought it was going to be. And it played out that way. I mean, you know, 24-14, relatively low scoring game in college football nowadays. That front with Miami, they are a problem. And I understand like the conversation continued this weekend of Reuben Bain and I guess how short his arms are going to measure at the NFL Combine.
Yep.
I get it, and I understand like the association with that, and you know if your arms are under a certain length and you're a high draft pick, it hadn't worked out very well in history in the NFL for that. I understand that. I watched that dude play, and I think he's probably going to help somebody at the NFL level would be my guess.
Yeah. No, he's a heck of a player. Yeah, it's some people, and maybe people are right. I mean, I saw Booger McFarland, like, he's just going to be a great three technique. Maybe that's what he is. You know, bulk up a little bit, be a game-wrecking three tech, whatever. He's going to be in the NFL. He's going to be picked in the first round. Someone's probably going to get him in the teens, and they're probably going to be real happy they got him in the teens. Mesidor also is a ridiculous player for them. I mean, they are and look, it's kind of too bad. I think Ole Miss should be America's team. I mean, I know it would be an incredible story. Like, what if we get Ole Miss Indiana? Like, You know, what do you even do?
I can't bring myself to root for another SEC team, so I'm going to Indiana. But I hear you on the America's team thing.
That is interesting. Even Ole Miss, huh?
No.
You can't even? No? That's interesting because I feel like in the SEC, there's more like root for the SEC team.
Yeah, not with me.
Not with you. Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, well, my buddy's like that. He's a Tennessee fan, but he always roots for the SEC.
For the SEC teams. Yeah. And that's like that in Big Ten country, too. I mean, everybody, oh, yeah, Iowa beat Vandy. Which we should, you know, we'll get into at some point. But I had a great thought, and I just lost it with my brain jostling around here.
Sorry about that.
No. It's not your fault. But the Ole Miss, I had a good point to make.
America's team.
Yeah, America's Indiana. Team. I don't know. Say something else. I'm really pissed off because I had a great point.
Well, I was going to bring this up.
Just on the tip of my tongue.
Look, there's a lot that's played out in the 12-team playoff the first couple years that, frankly, I don't like. I think we've gotten a lot of dud games, which I don't like. However, I will say the final four that we've now gotten to with Miami, Indiana, Ole Miss, and why am I blanking on the other team? Oregon. I mean, all of these are teams that it's – I don't know if new blood is the right word because, like, Miami, you know, it's got a good history.
But it's been a couple decades,
right?
Man.
Like, yeah. Oregon has always been around the picture, right? Like, yeah. Oregon's been in it for a long time, but they've never won a championship. So, like, you've got all this opportunity, and obviously Indiana and Ole Miss and what they've done. This opportunity here for – new blood here in the Final Four. It's fun to see that part of it.
Yeah, I mean three teams that have never won at all, and then Miami is they'd be the closest thing, but it's been 20 years, which is depressing when you think about it. It's like, gosh, it's really been 20 years, 20 plus years, almost 25 years. So yeah, like if this playoff was this is why. And I know it's just one year, and so some years you'll feel differently about this, but if this was the old playoff, we would have had, Indiana playing Texas Tech, and we would have had Georgia playing Ohio State. And I love the Final Four we have better, and I don't feel like we've been robbed of – because, man, I'm sorry, like, the Miami game is that one play, that pick six definitely changes the game. But also, I mean, they're right there. Ohio State lost 14 guys to the draft last year.
Yeah.
And they have a first-year quarterback. And when you look at their year, it's like, they weren't as great as we thought they were. They just weren't. So I don't think that we've gotten, like, robbed of a team that should have won it all by this happening. And I think we have a way more interesting Final Four because of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's – again, the interesting part of all this with the 12-team playoff is, and we ran into this sometimes with the four too. I mean, most of the games have sucked. That's the thing I can't figure out. Date back the last 2 years, like most of the games have been awful. So is that just going to be what it is moving forward? Is that a year by year thing? I don't know. And then you run into a game last night like Georgia and Ole Miss. You're like, well, yeah. If every game's going to be like this, expand it to 32, and let's just go from there. So that part of it's been interesting.
I mean, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Miami, Texas A&M were good games. Last night was a great game. You're right. I thought we'd have better games. I'm trying to think last year. What did we have last year? Texas, Arizona State was a great game last year. Yeah. Penn State, Notre Dame was a great game last year. But, yeah, not many.
That's about it.
Yeah, not enough.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the college football playoff. Plus, we will get into Vanderbilt's performance against Iowa in the ReliaQuest Bowl. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on the college football playoff. Joe Vanderbilt loses in the ReliaQuest Bowl to Iowa. It has not been a very good time in the SEC in bowl season. It has been a very good time for the Big Ten in bowl season so far, so we can maybe get into that here in just a few minutes. But what did you make of Vanderbilt's performance against Iowa, dropping them with a final record of 10-3 on the season in Diego Pavia's final game as a member of the Vanderbilt Commodores?
Yeah, well, I think that if you're a Vanderbilt fan, have some perspective on Iowa had Indiana beat. Now, it was at home, but they had them. Iowa had Oregon beat, again, at home, but they were right there. Then they lose two other tight games. They lose to their rival, Iowa State. And at that point, Iowa's offense was not good. You know, they got going finally with Gronowski this year. They actually scored – I mean, they scored 30 points 7 times, 5 times against power 4 teams. That's incredible for Iowa. So, and then they lost one. They lost a close game at USC. That's a really good team. That's a team that even if one of those two games against Indiana and Oregon goes the other way, they're at least in the discussion, and you know, they could have been a playoff team. So you have to keep that in mind. I think that was probably as bad a matchup for Vanderbilt's offense as you could have, and they still end up getting cooking and getting to 27. But they didn't look, I mean, the first half, and I thought this was hilarious. Like, this is like, you know, Mrs. Board Genius has had this stuff too. It's like, so if your team like stinks or whatever in a game like this, all of a sudden it's like, well, our team didn't care. Our team didn't care about this. We didn't care about this game. And it's like, guys, this is the best bowl game in Vanderbilt history. Also, you're pissed about not making the playoff. You can't sit here and tell me you don't care about this game. You're not playing well. You're getting your butt kicked by a good team. So they came back to their credit. Pavia ended up playing well. It wasn't, you know, I mean, obviously in the first half, they all played poorly, including him. He ended up looking great in the end, but it's too bad for them to not be able to win that game. How's your mic doing over there?
Not good. And it's like wrestling someone over here. We'll get it fixed in the break. It's all good. Good stuff over here. Yeah, I mean, look, I thought Iowa, first off, Iowa has more of a pulse offensively this year than any Iowa team I can remember for the last 20 years, so that's good. Yeah. Good for their fans. They deserve watching some actual offensive football, so that's nice. It is interesting, the Big Ten. Like, you know, I think the last couple of years, Joe, the conversation has been, well, the Big Ten is right there with the SEC. Obviously, Ohio State won the championship last year. Michigan won the championship the year before. But I think even more than that, like, you looked at it and it was like, well, yeah, the top part of the Big Ten is still right there with the SEC. Maybe it's not as deep. But all the Big Ten keeps doing is just winning games against the SEC come bowl season. So, I mean, look, people can make the argument of teams don't care about bowl games all they want to. And, you know, Tennessee had some opt-outs. I mean, Illinois had a couple opt-outs as well. So keep that in mind. But the results at this point are what they are. The Big Ten is having a good time right now against the SEC.
Yeah, like it was really – it was like as of – I guess my days are so mixed up. But as of, I guess, Wednesday, you know, midday, it was like, oh, my God. Then Nebraska gets just blown out. You know, Texas blows out Michigan. So it wasn't – you know, it wasn't all – bad or all totally lopsided. But yeah, look, I think that you have to be careful with the bowl results turning into a referendum on the conferences. But I do think the SEC is not as good. It's not as good as it was. You know, Matthew from Jolton says, once paying players became legal, the Big Ten caught and passed SEC quickly, at least the top of the Big Ten. From top to bottom, the SEC is better, but the top of the Big Ten is better. I mean, I think there's something to, again, you know, big-time college football programs, to act like it was only happening in the SEC is to be very naive. But I think the SEC led the way in paying players and doing whatever it took to get talent. Also, the SEC, a lot of their schools are around some of the best areas of talent, so you have to keep that in mind too. But, yeah, I think there's something to obviously, like in Indiana, you know, they're using resources. They're paying people. They're competitive. I don't think that they're out there paying insane amounts of money. They just have freaking Cignetti just completely running circles around any coach he encounters. But there's an obvious example of a program. Now, again, the SEC has a Vanderbilt coming in. And, I mean, that's the best thing about this era is that you have like that happening. You have Ole Miss right now with a chance to win it all. But I do think there's something to the idea that the Big Ten, with their resources, is evening things.
Well, and you're probably in today's college football. I mean, the SEC had a run from, I mean, you tell me, early 2000s until like 3 years ago where, I mean, it was clear. They were the best conference. They were winning national championships all the time, whether it was Bama or LSU or Florida or Auburn, whoever. Take your pick. Georgia at the end of that run there. And I just don't know that with what it is now with NIL and how much movement there is currently. And who knows, maybe here in 5-10 years at some point, the transfer portal has calmed down and they figured out a way where there's just not that much movement. But I don't know that we're ever going to see a run like that again with how even everything is now in terms of, like, if, you know, we've talked about this and, you know, Alabama, you used to be able to look at their depth chart and say, well, they got all these 5-star guys starting and then they got like 13 5-star guys behind them who are ready and waiting for their turn. And I just don't know that you're going to have that anymore based on player movement being what it is right now. And I think because of that, it makes it really hard to just have one dominant conference the way that we saw the SEC do it for 20 years.
Yeah. Also, I think it's almost dumb to even talk about the conferences because they're so big anyway.
That's, yeah,
you know,
I mean,
what
that's
I mean?
The other thing.
It's just like, you know.
It's hard to even know who's in it, all the conferences, yeah, now, honestly.
Right. I mean, it's.
And we have teams on the West Coast in the Atlantic Coast Conference. That's where we're at right,
yes,
now.
Yes. Like Oregon. Oh, carrying the Big Ten flag. Oregon? Really? Okay. Yeah. So there's that, too. But, yeah, it's volatile. And so while I don't expect Georgia to go away, right? I mean, in particular. Now, I know Georgia fans, man, I've seen some terrific Georgia angry fans.
They out on Kirby?
Kirby needs to look in the mirror. Kirby needs to lose weight. Kirby needs to ditch the visor.
I would advise him to ditch the visor.
The playoff format has made me, I don't want to watch college football anymore because, of course, they'd be in the Final Four if it was the old, you know. But they're not going anywhere. I think there's still programs where, because you've built in, like, I don't think Ohio State's going anywhere.
No.
Right? But then again, man, you know, you say that, and again, look at Alabama. Of all programs that you would never expect to go anywhere, again, they just made the playoff. They won a playoff game, so it's not the end of the world. But they've reduced quickly.
Sure. Well, and, you know, Nick Saban ain't walking through that door anymore.
8 losses in 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is on that front. I don't know. It's really – I mean, look, the Big Ten – for SEC fans that would say this, like, turn the tables, and the SEC is just dominating all these Big Ten teams in bowl time, you would absolutely be running your mouth.
Oh,
about that.
100%.
So if that's the case,
yeah,
then you got to stand up and face the music when it goes the other way. And I understand. Look, I get it because I kind of feel this way, even when the SEC was kind of running all over the place. Like the bowl games, especially now. I don't know how much they mean. I really don't. Like, you get to the end of it, and it's like, all right, how many of these teams are interested in playing here? How many of them have their quarterback playing? Like, you can go down the list of what they mean. But the bottom line is, like, I guarantee you, if the SEC was, like, 7-1 in bowl season and they were just kicking the crap out of the Big Ten, it's all that, like, Peter Burns and all these people would be talking about all over the place.
It's amazing, man. Like, it is amazing. Just the people are so ready to jump all over it. And you're right. So the Big Ten gets to talk a little trash now, and they're going to be playing for the title for sure.
Yep.
We know this, and I don't know, man. I mean, Ole Miss was probably – I haven't seen the line, but I'm sure Miami's favored, I would assume, in that game. A decent chance here that it's the SEC totally iced out of the title game again. I mean, that would be 3 straight years of the Big Ten playing for it, possibly winning it 3 straight years. And 3 straight years of the SEC not even playing for one.
Miami, a 2.5-point favorite against Ole Miss, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. And Indiana, a 3.5-point favorite against Oregon. That's where the Lions currently stand.
Okay. I think we should keep doing – I mean, this segment I know we probably should end, but I'd like to keep going a little bit because I really think that you holding the mic really gives it a special –
Well, if you want to see me throw one through the window, we can keep going. That's what we can do.
Texter's like, it's times like these or watching the show on YouTube is the best. Mike Gate Part 2.
I'm like performing surgery over here. We'll see if we can get it done here in the break. It is transfer portal day in college football, which great timing on all that. Playoff yesterday. Let's get into the portal today. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. I have done the repair job on the microphone. It is complete. We'll see if it lasts.
How'd you pull that off?
I just started messing around with stuff. Tightened it up.
Wow. Tighten up. Yep. There we go. All it took. Tighten up a little bit.
Tighten up a little bit. We will get into the Titans a little bit later in the program. We will get into the Nashville Predators coming up in a few minutes. Steven Stamkos hitting the 600-goal plateau. So we will get into all that. Joe, the transfer portal opening today in college football. So, I mean, the calendar in this sport is just beautiful. We got the college football playoff going on as we speak. We got all these bowl games. And now we have roster retention taking place through all this as well. And some names already starting to leak out in terms of some Tennessee players that could be heading into the portal. Lance Hurd, the left tackle, has been out there. It looks like Ricky Gibson, the cornerback, could be heading into the transfer portal. So some changes that Heupel continues to make. He canned Willie Martinez yesterday, defensive backs coach. Yeah, the strength coach being fired by Josh Heupel. So in the aftermath of the Music City Bowl, Joe, some more coaching moves made by Josh Heupel.
Well, that's the thing. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff that's about to materialize in the portal, and Gibson is a loss for sure. But, wow, strength coach? Martinez has been with him since way back at Oklahoma. I mean, it's one of those things where you could look at it two ways. One is a Tennessee fan and be like, good, get in there, and it's about absolutely getting the best people, and the loyalty stuff has a limit, and you just have to get the absolute best staff you can get. And you can also look at it like it seems a little bit desperate.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how much of this is Jim Knowles being like, hey, I really need my own guys. Like, I think
with Martinez for sure, yeah. I think that definitely would make sense.
Yeah, I could see that being the case. You know, on the portal front for Gibson, you know, how much of it is, you know, they've moved on from Tim Banks, and that's his guy, and he wants to go check something out somewhere else. How much of maybe behind the scenes, and I saw some Tennessee fans wondering this yesterday, how much behind the scenes is like, has he heard that Tennessee is going to be extremely aggressive bringing in corners, and he's like, ah, screw that, I'll just go play somewhere else. I don't know. I don't know what it all means. I would say this, like if you're a Tennessee fan, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, I mean, over the next couple of days, you're going to see people hit the portal, and you're not going to see where they end up. So it's there'll be panic that sets in over the next couple of days. I mean, my advice would be to wait until the picture is done and see who you add in the portal before you start freaking out. But I am very interested to see. Like, I think there's an expectation out there, particularly from Tennessee fans, as it relates to, like, Tennessee-Vanderbilt conversation here, particularly from Tennessee fans, I think there's an expectation out there that they're going to be very aggressive in the portal. And we've not really seen them do that yet. This is a different set of circumstances, as we've discussed. So next couple weeks here to me are very fascinating on the Tennessee front to see how much player movement there's going to be here.
Yeah, definitely a time for caution. I understand that's hard for some college football fans, but it's a time for caution. With Gibson even, look, if you're Gibson, I mean, if you're Gibson's agent, it's like you played well enough to get in there. I mean, is it not possible you could still end up coming back?
Sure, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's – usually you want it to get to the point where it's like, okay, instead of going to the portal, let's negotiate. Yep. Okay, you're good. But sometimes, you know, maybe it just isn't. I think sometimes it's just like, okay, well, that's not – I can get more than that. I'm going to go in the portal. And it still comes back to, okay, like, look, you still fit well in this defense. Let's keep talking. And he ends up coming back. It's possible.
Yeah.
But, it's probably just as simple as – yeah, just like the NFL or any sport, any pro sport, man, if you become a free agent, you're just going to get more money. If you're willing to move, you're going to get more money.
Yep.
That's like true in just about anything.
So who's going to be better in 2026, Tennessee or Vanderbilt? Vanderbilt's losing Pavia. Obviously, they got Jared Curtis coming in, true freshman. I mean, I guess he's going to be the quarterback, right? Like, that would be my guess, that he's the starting quarterback next year. So you have that. Tennessee, at the moment, I have no idea who their quarterback is going to be. It's very difficult to answer this question at this very moment. I understand that, but I'm throwing it out there to you anyway. Who do you think's better in 2026?
I don't know. And that is, you know, first of all, I think that's another sign of the times that we're even having that question. I mean, even in years where, like, Vanderbilt was beating Tennessee, You didn't think Vanderbilt was, like, going into a particular year, like they weren't better than Tennessee, right? On paper, no way. Some of those years it turned out that way, or at least that they beat them. But I think it's very much Vanderbilt looks like they're retaining really well in the O-line.
Yep.
You know, and some defensive players too. So they're going to have a decent core coming back. Curtis is going to be fascinating next year. Is there going to be any real competition for him? I don't know, but I expect him to be the quarterback. Is he ready to be, like, really good right now? I mean, there's no question the guy has the skills, the talent to be good. But, you know, year one, true freshman in the SEC? It's a lot to ask. You know, and I think it may just come down to which of these two teams is going to do better in the portal. Is Vanderbilt going to get some difference makers? Like, what's their budget to go out and get people right now? And then you also just have the question of, and this is going to be asked a million times, and it's a fair question. It's like, okay, so what is Vanderbilt without Diego Pavia? How much did he carry things? I think some people have underrated him locally and again, I know that the Vols hate for Pavia. There was some great stuff when they lost. Big Orange Mac tweet.
Yes. It was special.
Oh, my goodness. But look, he was an incredible player and set the tone and all that stuff, changed the attitude, and was, to me, the best player in college football this year. Losing that, how are you not taking a significant step backward?
I mean, you would think so. But again, that's a lot of talent that Jared Curtis has. I've seen this from Tennessee fans, too. It's like, so you mean to tell me that Jared Curtis is going to come in and be the starter for Vanderbilt next year, and we can't get Faison Brandon on the field from now until August?
Yeah,
that's what you mean to tell me. Which, look, maybe that's the plan. I have no idea. Maybe Heupel's looking at it right now and be like, "Yeah, I mean, Faison Brandon's gonna be our quarterback."
But that's kind of why I mean, if I really had to answer the question, I'd say Tennessee, because Vanderbilt's, I think, in a position where it's like 5-star quarterback, true freshman,
biggest recruit in school history, yeah,
right. Whereas Tennessee is still in a position, we think, where it's like, yeah, you need to have that redshirt year. Ideally, in any program, a Jared Curtis has a redshirt year, has a year, you know. But it just seems like he's probably going to be out there right away. And then again, on the Tennessee side, yeah, you may have the redshirt year, but still, who is going to quarterback and how good are they going to be?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I said this after the Illinois game last week, or I guess that was earlier this week. Right now, it feels like Tennessee, like, competing in the college football playoff, it feels like they're far away from that right now. Now, how far away are they actually? Like, you have one really good offseason, and that's adding players in the portal. That's also development of your guys you've got in-house. And we know this. They've got a talented group in-house. I mean, they just had a top 8 recruiting class or whatever it was, depending on where you look. So, it's pretty good. Like, you've got some talent to work with there, and Heupel and his staff have stacked together some pretty good recruiting classes here. So what does that end up looking like by the time August comes around? So you can feel far away right now, and by the time the fall comes around, you could look at Tennessee through the first 5 games and be like, yeah, this team's a wagon. Like, they're really good. We'll see. They have some pieces that are intriguing coming back. But right now, I mean, Vanderbilt has laid a foundation with the season that they just had that I think is going to echo for them for a while. And Clark Lee was kind of talking about that after the Iowa game the other day. Tennessee is at a crossroad right now. Like, if they're 7-5, 8-4 next year, we're going to be talking about Josh Heupel potentially losing his job. I mean, there are also two programs right now that are in completely opposite positions with their coach, which is kind of amazing to think back 2 years ago. We were having the conversation about Clark Lee
right, and
what we were talking about with Josh Heupel. It's kind of flipped right now.
And it all happens so fast, and it can flip back in this. I mean, it's things like that, just rising and falling is just light speed at this point in the sport. Yeah, so like if you're a Vanderbilt fan, okay, next year, let's say Vanderbilt goes 7-5. Like, are you let down by that? Is that to me, if they start a true freshman, I don't care if he's a 5-star, true freshman, at quarterback, playing in the SEC, still a pretty good league. Decent league, you know, top 4 league for sure.
Yeah.
And go 7-5? That's pretty good, right? Yeah. But You know, you can sometimes be a victim of the expectations that you raise, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at their schedule next year. The non-conference, you ought to get 3 wins. You got Austin Peay. The Delaware Blue Hens coming to town next year. Looking forward to that.
Oh, baby.
And then NC State. I mean, that's an interesting game. Yeah. NC State coming to town as well. I have to get used to the 3 non-conference games, which is now what it is.
Yeah.
I kept looking on the schedule. I was like,
where's the other one? Oh,
they don't have one.
No, yeah. They're doing one like right before the Tennessee game? No. Don't have one. By the way, this is a – well, I'll save it for later. I have something to say about the SEC.
We'll get into that presumably at 7:45.
Yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will get into the Nashville Predators. Big milestone for Steven Stamkos and an opportunity that was on the table for them last night that they missed that would have been, frankly, incredible to be talking about today. We will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.